What's going on, Tin and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's March 17th, 2025. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you out there. I'm trying to pinch J Man through the screen because from what I can see, he's not wearing any green. I mean, I guess you could be.
You don't know what's on my bottoms.
You could be wearing green underwear, but I don't want to know. If you are, good for you.
yeah.
But with that said, I'm Terry Lee. He's Josh the J Man Month. J Man, how's it going, man?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I wore a little green today, so.
Didn't even realize it was St. Patrick's Day until you said something, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about the yesterday. So.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, I better wear. I got a few green things. Of course, the company I work for, primary color is green. That helps.
That helps a lot. Yeah, that helps a lot.
I got a green zip up on today during the workday, but now I got a Seattle Sonics hat, Green Day shirt. So. We're good to go. Not getting pinched by anybody.
I'd still pinch you.
You'd be ready for a fight. Pinches hurt, man. Pinches are such a deadly little thing if you think about it. Little effort. Oh. Man. Man.
Yeah, it always gets you in like a sensitive spot on like your skin, too. You dig the nails in. It's rough.
You'll appreciate this because of the name in your family and the name in my family. My great uncle Dale, I was very young, but I this is my fondest memory of him. He used to do what they call the Combs pinch. We're talking about pinching. He'd take his fingers. I still don't know how he did. He'd do it around your knee, around the knee area. Oh man. And Combs
pinch. Oh yeah. For those who are unfamiliar, Tanner and I are cousins. He just doesn't want to admit it. We have a family name of Combs. That has flowed through the family. So long lost cousins.
Well, we have some resembling traits, you and I.
We're both stupid.
IQ departments. So. And we might be on something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of that, hit me with the birdie or bogey so I can get another bogey.
There are four teams in college basketball that have won 20 or more games in six straight seasons here recently. I'm going to word that again because I screwed it up. I had it perfectly in my head earlier today. This is how I'm going to say it. And then, of course, the show starts and I screw it up. There are four teams in college basketball that have won 20 or more games in each of the last six seasons. Can you name those four schools?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I can name like four of them.
Well, that's
not enough, but.
Four is enough. That's all there are.
I thought you said six.
No.
Four schools, 6 years
ago. Four schools, 6 years. Yeah, the six is 20 years.
Games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's four schools that have won 20 games in each of the last six seasons. So.
I think I got a shot at this. Okay.
Four teams. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good food, casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check out Arlington Public House for all their finest meals.
Yeah, let me see what they had going on over the weekend. I'm trying to post our episode here on my Facebook page. Okay, let's see what Arlington had going on over the weekend. Come on. Oh, boy. Okay, good. They had it written. It was like a video. I'm like, I cannot read that, but now it's underneath. They had, for all you fish lovers, of course, you know, Lent's going on. They had a pan-seared 8-ounce halibut fillet based in rich, velvety lemon butter, cooked to golden perfection, served alongside creamy, buttery mashed potatoes and tender garlic-infused green beans. This dish is a perfect balance of elegance and comfort. Every bite melts in your mouth, bursting with fresh, vibrant flavors. Friday and Saturday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sounds pretty good.
You're a fish liker.
I am. And they had that was Thursday, they had all-you-can-eat beer-battered fish, a different kind of fish. Yeah. Yeah, I like a lot of kinds of fish. For as picky of an eater as I am, I like a lot of seafood.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Because I know you're not as picky as an eater as I am, but you don't like seafood.
I don't like seafood, no. Never have acquired the taste for seafood.
Is it one of those things where you just don't like the thought of something swimming and then onto your plate or what?
It's the smell too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point. That kind of gets me. My dad likes seafood. My mom does not. So I think I just followed my mom's lead. I've tried like shrimp and stuff, and I just can't get into it.
Can't even do like a fried one, like a coconut shrimp.
I tried coconut shrimp and it was okay. I'd never order it at a restaurant or anything like that. But
I don't like coconut stuff, but I like coconut shrimp. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very strange.
The only coconut I like is the Samoa's cookies, Girl Scout cookies.
Those are awesome. I do like those. Yeah, those are good. Those are good. Don't they have another name?
It used to be Caramel Delights, but now they're Samoa's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not too many kinds of Girl Scout cookies I don't like.
I don't think there's a single one I don't like.
I don't care for the shortbread ones that much.
I mean, they're just kind of bland.
Yeah.
I think they're edible.
But
to me,
man,
anyway.
The Thin Mints, the peanut butter ones.
I got swindled by some Girl Scouts the other day at Lowe's. I walked in to get the windshield wiper fluid, and I walk out, and they accosted me and said, "Oh, I don't have any cash. I don't have any cash." Like, "Oh, we take card." Couldn't get out of that one.
Yeah, so, nope. 5 years ago, probably. But yeah, now, yeah.
12 bucks later, I walked out of there with some Girl Scout cookies, and my wife was like, "What in the world? We're on a diet." I got nervous.
Yep. Nope. I would have caved. I would have caved too. Another reason we're probably distant cousins. Right
yep.
There.
Yep.
Peer pressure. But, I guess before we get into our brackets and we got NFL free agency, you want to hit our weekly segments first?
Let's do it. I can get you educated here real quick before you.
Oh, I need it.
Sure.
Man, I need it.
Let's see. In the 1800s, there were a couple, one cricket. Cricket one, but I sounds like a foreign language.
We really need to study up one of them.
I know. On this day in 1953, Bill Veeck says he will sell 80% of St. Louis Browns for $2.475 million.
That's a lot of coin back then.
That was. On this day in 1980s, honestly. I thought we'd have more NCAA tourney.
I did too.
Well, I'm in the 80s and it's rugby and ski jumping. On this day in 1988, it was the then highest scoring basketball game to date in the NCAA. Loyola Marymount beat Wyoming 119-115.
No overtime?
Doesn't say.
Ooh, wow.
They had the 3-point shot in 88.
Yeah.
Did they? Okay. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1994, it is announced there is no smoking in the Cleveland then Indians new ballpark. It's hard to believe you could just light one up sitting there watching a baseball game.
Yeah, that's interesting though. Like you say that, and I'm like, well, they are outside, but you don't see anybody lighting it up at outdoor sporting stadiums or fields. So
I don't think you can anymore.
Yeah, people vape though. I've seen that.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, my dad and I would always go to Wrigley, and we'd get seats in right down the left field line, and they had a little, before they renovated, a little like three-row section, and it was a non-alcohol section, which is just unheard of in today's world.
Yeah.
There was a section where they did not serve alcohol. You weren't allowed to have alcohol there, so it was perfect for a kid.
Interesting.
On this day in 2019, how did I not make a book at prediction for this one? PGA Players Championship TPC at Sawgrass. Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland wins his biggest check in golf by one stroke.
Did again today. He was in a three-hole playoff with J.J. Spahn. It got storm delayed yesterday, and then they tried to finish it. And J.J. had a putt on the 18th hole yesterday to win, and he either has not won or only had one tour win. So, you know, not like Rory.
Right.
And he had a decent length putt, and he left it in the heart like 2 inches short.
Oh, man.
And then today he started off, bogeyed the par five, Rory birdied. Then they got to the island green, and JJ put one in the water and doubled. and Rory bogeyed. And then right there, Rory's up three going to the last hole. And took. So,
yeah
Rory, Rory's got all the momentum heading into Augusta here in about a month.
Why didn't we pick this golf?
I don't know. It's the biggest non-major. You want to hear something said? My boy was in contention after 2 days. After 2 days. It's weekend rounds, 82-79.
Phew, man.
Awful. Just pathetic. Just pathetic.
Where did he finish up in the standings as far as the cut? Really?
Last. He went from tied 16th to last. I mean, he opened up double-double on Saturday and then just snowballed from there. And then not that it mattered. I was like, yesterday, just shoot someone in the 60s. Not that it's going to matter. Start off with a quad first hole. I'm like, just walk off the course.
Dude. Yeah.
You've lost. That's the problem with Rick lately. He puts one or two rounds together, not even close to putting four. I don't know.
That's wild.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not going to be playing at Augusta. So.
No, really?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Tough for him. What year was it that he was real close to winning Augusta? Wasn't there a year?
2014, he got top five in every single major.
Yeah. And
in 2015, he won the Players and a few other events. But he's only won twice since then. So
that's wild.
Yep. Yeah.
On this day in 2021, America's Cup in Auckland, Emirates team New Zealand beats Italian yacht Luna Rossa Prada Pirelli by 46s in race 10 for a 7-3 series victory and retain the cup. Did you get any of that?
I know it's sailing.
I figured it was sailing once I saw yacht was involved. That's Other than that, I would have probably thought it was soccer or something.
I've heard of the America's Cup. I know it's sailing. That's all I got. That's more foreign to me than cricket.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely. Yeah. Definitely. That's it. That's all I got for you.
Yeah. It's a kind of weak one. This week.
I know.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm sure the next few weeks won't be. So, and that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week of 2025 by Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. And I promised it last week, and I fell through with it this week because I forgot to load the images of some of Thad's recently completed projects. So I need to make myself a note right now to do that by next week because he's been making some really cool stuff. So
sir,
get a hold of Thad. Yeah, he makes great work and great wooden signs and more. And it's great for any occasion. So, all right. Well, let's do the blind ranking. Because it's got to do with college basketball, which we're going to talk a majority of the pod from here on out about. And I got to pick the five here. But, we like to talk about pain and misery a lot on this podcast. And it seems like we can remember the pain and misery more often. So I am going to have you rank five different Illinois Illini NCAA tournament losses.
Oh, boy. One being the worst, I assume.
Yeah, the one that hurts you the worst or you think about the most. And I'm going to admit, I'm not doing any of 2005.
Okay.
Because I feel like the national championship could be won easily. So
right.
Not doing that one. But we're going to start off with 2007, 12-seeded Illinois lost to number 5-seeded Virginia Tech by a score of 54-52.
Five. I don't think about that game ever.
Okay.
I think the only reason I didn't even get to watch it, I remember I was in a hotel and it was before they had them on every single station. So you just had to, whatever game was on CBS, that's what you were getting. And they'd tune in. And I think they had a shot at the buzzer to win it and they missed. The only reason that team got in is because of their brand at that time, kind of like a North Carolina, honestly, from this year, but, just 2 years removed from the national title. I think that's the only reason they got in because they probably shouldn't have got in at all.
Yeah, and then I would have been interested to go back and see the analyst. That might have been a nice little 12-5 upset pick just because of the brand name.
I bet Virginia Tech had like their best season in a long time, and I bet they saw Illinois on that, and they're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, yeah, you don't see high majors at 12 seeds too often.
No. But no, that team was very forgettable. Warren Carter, I think, was their best player that year.
There's a name for the past.
Yeah, Sean Pruitt, I think, kind of had a breakout year that year. But
I know this one stunned you. It cost you a phone. 2013, number 7-seeded Illinois loses to number 2-seeded Miami, Florida, 63-59.
I'm gonna go 2.
Okay.
Yeah, 2. That was rough. It incited or it created a rule where they can now look at who the ball is out of bounds on under 2 minutes. So that was that is the reason why it happened. Now, at the same time, they were down 3 at the time, so there was no guarantee they ever actually, you know, tie it and win it. But they would have got the ball back with about 40 seconds left, down 3. But they said the ball was off of, I don't even know. I don't even remember. I remember DJ Richardson airballed the 3. And it was off of, clearly off of Miami. But they called it off of Illinois. Had to start fouling. It was game over then. So I was very mad that one. But I wouldn't say I think about it anymore. I try to put the John Gross Illinois days out of my head as much as possible.
Kind of mixing this all around. I'm not really doing chronological order or anything. So the next one's number 4 seeded Illinois losing number 5 seeded Houston in 2022 by a score of 68-53.
That one, I was very hot after that one, because I don't know if you remember it, but it was like a, I think they were down 2 at half, and it was a close game late. Like, I think they were down 5 with about 6 minutes left, and RJ Melendez had a dunk, and he flew in there, so he had to hang on the rim to protect himself, and the guy called a tech, and Underwood went off, and it went from like a 5-point game to a, I think it ended up being a 10-point game after they hit the two technical free throws, and then I think they hit a 3, and it was pretty much game over then. So a lot of Illinois fans still talk about that, how they were mad, because it would have been interesting to see how that game plays out, should he, and he shouldn't have called a tech. Like, he didn't even really hang on the rim. He swung a little bit because he would have fallen right on his back. Have I ranked that yet?
Nope.
I'm gonna go 3.
3. 3. So 2, 3, and 5 are taken. So you got 1 and 4 remaining. I got 3 left, but I can only pick 2. So I'm gonna go with, all right, I'll go with this one. 09, number 5 seed Illinois loses number 12 seeded West Kentucky, 76-72.
4. That stunk. And the Big Ten was so down that year. I think they only got 5 teams in, maybe. And I think Illinois finished 3rd in the league, and they weren't even that good. They got a 5 seed. But Chester Frazier broke his hand in practice, and they probably win if he plays, because he was kind of their glue, and I think they lost by 4.
Yep, 76-72.
Yeah. So that stunk, because the very next day was, we were driving down to spring break, and I had to drive through Bowling Green, Kentucky. And there's Western Kentucky stuff everywhere. So that was the most painful part of it. Yeah.
And you saved this one for, this was the right call. Number 1, 2021, number 1 seed, Illinois lose the number 8 seed, Loyola Chicago, 71-58.
I thought that'd be on the list. That's why I saved 1. Oh, 1. That sucked. Yeah.
Been there.
They put so much energy into winning the Big Ten tournament because they felt like they got slighted with the, you know, the COVID rule. And they felt like they should have won the Big Ten regular season too, because they played every single game. And Michigan got to take 2 weeks off. And so they played significantly less games. Illinois murdered them in Ann Arbor without Io DeSumo. People don't even remember that. Io broke his nose, didn't even play, and they beat him by 23. And then they ran into an 8 seed. That was KenPom top 10, and they liked the storyline of facing Loyola, and they just couldn't get anything going. And it was probably the most frustrated I've ever been watching Illinois basketball, because they'd cut it down to 6 or 7, and then Cameron Krutwig would make a really nice play. Either he'd pass it or he'd score on Kofi, and couldn't get anything going. And that was just frustrating, because that's the best team top to bottom they've had since, you know, the 05 team. And we'll remember them, but not as much as we would probably even last year's team, who won the Big Ten tournament as well and then go to the Elite Eight. So kind of stunk.
That was that strange year with basically no crowd all year. Then the NCAA tournament had minimum crowd. So, and the one I was debating to put on ended up not 06, number 4 seed Illinois lost to number 5 seed Washington 67-64.
I probably would have put that, let's see, I probably would have put that at 3.
That's still a good roster. They still
really maybe good two, because that was D. Brown and James Augustine's last game. They're all time winningest players there.
Was Luther Head still on that team or no?
No, he was a senior the year before, and he was a first round pick. So it was Brown and Augustine, and then they had, I think it was Rich McBride. Pruitt started a lot. Brian Randall as well. So it was an okay team. But, yeah, they ran into Brandon Roy and John Brockman and a couple other guys that Washington had. That was really good.
Isaiah Thomas, I think.
I don't think he was there yet.
Nate Robinson?
No, I think Robinson was before that and Thomas was after. Okay, like, it was kind of right in between.
Quincy Poindexter? Young Poindexter? Maybe?
Potentially. I don't remember. All I remember is Brockman and Brandon Roy. Yeah. And they had a transfer from Florida whose last name was Appleby. I remember he's a shooter. He had like blonde curly hair.
I kind of remember him vaguely.
D. Brown had a shot at the buzzer to tie it and he missed a three.
And another one I almost put on there but didn't was 2003. 9 seed Illinois lose to 8 seed Arkansas 73-63, but 8-9 is a toss up. So, I mean,
yeah, and I was so ready for that team to end with the Matt Meyer and those guys. It didn't hurt me in the slightest that they got beat. They got down like 20 and then they cut it down to like 3, I think, with a couple minutes left. And then kind of, but I was very ready for a lot of those guys to go.
Sorry to bring up some painful memories. Hopefully,
no,
he's better.
It's honestly therapeutic ranking them like that. So thank you. I'm gonna have to do that to you sometime.
I know it's coming eventually. I got some. There's ones on my list that are gonna be worse. I can name two of them right now that probably rank all worse than those. But that is the blind ranking segment this week, which is brought to you by, like it is every week in 2025, Performer Prints You Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Prints You Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call today at 574-210-3815. Hoops bracket, the field of 68 released yesterday. And I think the biggest shocker as far as who got in and who got left, that was North Carolina in, West Virginia, Indiana out.
Yeah. It's interesting that Carolina gets in, and one of the heads of the selection committee is North Carolina's athletic director. And you know what he got with North Carolina making the tourney? $110,000 bonus today.
But he didn't have anything to do with it, Jay.
He said he left the room
every time they were discussed.
Talk about corruption. it's one thing if they're really good, obviously, and they're going to be in. Excuse me. And then they said the reason why Indiana didn't make it is because they didn't take care of those quad one opportunities. They won four quad one games. North Carolina won one.
1-12.
They went 1-12. And then they said, well, you got to look at the quad two as well. They went 8-0 in quad two. Indiana went undefeated in the quad two. So it really makes no sense. The NCAA is corrupt. And that's not going to help their case. Now, I will say, I think I picked Carolina to go to the round of 32 because I think they win two games. Yeah, I think that was the biggest shock, mainly West Virginia not getting in, because I think a lot of people had them in like a fairly safe bubble position in the byes, and they said, well, their best player hasn't played recently. Well, he's been out since early December, so he's been out a majority of the year, and they're still winning quad one games, and they should have gotten in, and they didn't, in favor of a North Carolina. Other than that, I don't think there are really many surprises as far as who got in and who didn't.
No, Ohio State was the third team.
Which was surprising that they were that close, honestly. Yeah. Boise was the other one in the top four as well, with West Virginia and Indiana. Yep. I think seeding-wise was more of a surprise. I was very, very surprised Louisville was an 8.
Yes.
that's a scary 8, and they get to play in Lexington, Kentucky. So at that time, we're all thinking, oh, maybe The ACC is looked at not very fondly by the committee, and then they let North Carolina in. So that makes no sense. Clemson being a five, I think, is pretty dang low because they were really, really good this year.
I think it shows, even though they let Carolina in, I think it shows they don't think the ACC was good, which it wasn't.
Exactly.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't at all.
Compared to the Big Ten or the SEC.
But I think it's like they felt, man, we can't just have three teams.
Right. We got to get that.
We got to get a fourth or it's going to look even worse.
And maybe I could have justified it more if UNC beat Duke.
Yeah. In the conference
tournament, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And going back to West Virginia, they can blame the state of Colorado for not making it. Colorado beats them, and then Colorado State wins the Mountain West.
Yeah. Colorado was one of the worst teams they were one of the worst high majors, and
they were terrible.
West Virginia lost to them in round one, and that is what ultimately kept them out, because I think they win that game, they're in over Carolina. I think they're in that play-in game.
I agree.
Now we can also look at some of the SEC schools. They let 14 teams in. You have 6-12 in the league, Oklahoma get in, and we're fairly safe in as a 10 seed. Texas as well. Which they say
some non-conference wins there. That's what they were saying with them.
Which is fair, but you got to win some games in January and February, too, and they won six of them. Yeah. So,
Bowl week this year.
It stunk, 1,000. And you got to look at a team like Nebraska, who had, it on a silver platter for them, and they lose 6-7 in the year against some bad opponents, too, they lost to.
Yeah.
They can only blame themselves for that one. But, weak bubble. Overall, I thought the number one seeds were very justified, especially with Florida played in the SEC tourney. Duke and Auburn were locks, and then Houston has been in the Big 12 for 2 years, and they've won two titles already. So,
can they get to the Final Four? I know they have, but can they?
Last year seemed like the team, and then their point guard gets hurt in the Duke game, and he doesn't play the rest of the second half, and they lose. Because it was on a silver platter for them last year, too. They played an underachieving, okay Duke team. But then they win that one. They would have played NC State. And NC State doesn't. They don't beat them. And then who knows what happens against Purdue. They would have been fascinating because Houston plays such tough on-ball defense, but they didn't have a big guy at all. That would have been a fascinating matchup. Looking forward to it. And One of my least favorite days of the year is the Monday before the NCAA tournament, because there's just nothing on tonight. Not a single basketball game, I think, is on at all tonight. So
no,
kind of stinks. But
no, going back to Indiana, I posed this question to my dad earlier today. He didn't think so, but I wonder if the Mike Woodson situation had anything to do with them being on the wrong side of the bubble.
Yeah, I'm sure it maybe played a little bit of a role. Maybe it didn't though. Because I really thought they would have gotten in over in North Carolina, and they ultimately didn't. But it might have been in the back of the committee's minds, and that's subconsciously they didn't put them in because of that fact.
I think it shows the Big Ten tournament meant jack squat for everybody outside of Indiana and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you saw Michigan limp to the finish line. They lose three in a row to end the year, and then they go and
killed those three games.
Killed, yeah. All three of them, they got beat handily. And then they go and win the Big Ten tournament. We're thinking, maybe they're up to a four seed now.
I thought for sure.
Kept them out of five. So it really only means anything for bubble teams, it seems like, anymore.
I know they won't do away with them because of the money they generate, but should there be a conversation to get rid of, at least for the Power Five, get rid of the conference tournaments?
I hope not. I love it.
I don't think they're going to.
But I don't either.
If they don't mean anything, I just, for seeding purposes, I don't really understand. I mean, besides the teams on the bubble, I guess.
It's mainly for the teams on the bubble. And, regular season championships mean a little more. But it is always fun to win a Big Ten tournament.
It is.
That's an interesting question.
Well, and we see players get injured in these. I mean, Cooper Flagg went down. Iowa State had a guy go down.
Yeah, he's out for the tournament, too. Their second leading scorer.
Which is huge.
Massive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Fletcher Lawyer went down for Purdue. Thankfully, he's okay. By the time, I thought he broke his arm.
I thought he hossed himself.
I did, too. But he sprained it. He sounds like no practice, but will play. Thursday.
So. It was pretty swollen.
It looked nasty. It was discolored and swollen. Yeah.
At least it wasn't his shooting elbow, I guess.
Right. But I thought maybe he was playing through it and it was fractured or something, just playing through it on adrenaline. Because I believe Haas played a little bit longer after he fell. And then after the game, it shocked everybody when it came out. He fractured his elbow. And that was the hook and hold rule, which still isn't correctly called.
I haven't even seen him review one this year.
I've seen him review a lot. Seems
really?
Like,
I haven't seen a hook and hold once. Maybe
they review it, but don't call it. And man, I know we've talked about this before, and you know, this is the time of the year the casual basketball fan gets really into it. You know,
it's annoying. So
everybody's going to get annoyed with how many times they review plays under 2 minutes. I mean, yesterday's Big Ten tournament.
It was
ridiculous. My gosh, went to the monitor 4 times.
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. In the final minute, they went to the monitor.
Is this the most annoying gesture in sports?
I hate it. The moment the ball's out of bounds under 2 minutes, everyone's doing that because usually they get the calls right too, is the thing. Usually I would say 75% of the time they get the call right on the court.
Yes. And like for these tournament games, they have another ref right there for view. It's supposed to speed things up, and I didn't
it hasn't at all. At all. Yeah. Not at all.
But I was surprised that Auburn was the number one overall one over Duke. That did surprise me.
Yeah, Auburn won in Duke, didn't they? Or was it the other way around?
I forgot they even played.
Yeah, they played in December. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Auburn beat them, I think. But
I do too. Maybe that has something to do with it. I think the strength of conference has something to do with it as well.
Good point.
SEC
Good
was
point.
A lot better. But I think Duke's the best team in the country.
I do too.
Fully healthy. I mean, they had a stretch where they won by like. Like it was like 4 straight games. It was like they won by 45, won by 38, 35, 30. Like they had like 4 straight wins of 30 or more, which is unheard of.
Even without Cooper the other night, I know Louisville's not the best team in the world, but they're better than the 8 seed they got seeded at.
Yep.
They took care of business without him.
Yeah.
It looked like they didn't even need him. It's just like, that must be nice.
And they came back from like 16 down against Georgia Tech without him to beat Georgia Tech.
I think they were shell-shocked when he went down, but... You know, take him off the court in the wheelchair and everything. They're probably assuming the worst, but.
Yeah, he Dwayne Wade-ed himself.
Yep. Yep. Duke beat Auburn, my dad says.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even remember they played.
I think Cameron Indoor, I remember.
Interesting. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. But outside of Purdue, until a conference tournament this past week, I didn't watch a ton of college basketball outside of Purdue, but this week I did.
No. I didn't even watch that many Big Ten games outside of Illinois this year. I'd have it on, but I wouldn't say I intended to watch it.
Background noise, kind of. Yeah.
And the games Thursday were kind of rough. Purdue game was really good. They found a way to win, but every other game was kind of a shellacking. Friday, all 4 games were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Double digits more. And then Saturday's games were awesome. Yesterday's game was good.
They've delivered on the weekend for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Saturday especially was fantastic. But
Yep. Well, let's go bracket by bracket or region by region. Starting up in the left-hand side. I don't have which direction that is on here, but
I have the south up on my left-hand side.
Okay. That's Auburn, right?
Yep.
All right. So Auburn, not getting upset by Alabama State or St. Francis in your bracket, I presume?
No.
How about Louisville-Creighton?
I have Creighton winning that one.
I got Louisville. I think they're going to be mad.
I like it.
But I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's two pretty evenly matched up. But look for Hepburn. I about call him Hellburn. Hepburn to be the difference maker there.
Yeah, he almost committed to Creighton in the offseason, I remember reading.
Yeah, so you're right.
Kind of interesting.
The 5-12 is always easy for upset picks. And
yeah.
Seth Davis was drooling over UC San Diego having them going to the Sweet 16. I'm not buying it. I'm taking Michigan.
I'm taking Michigan as well. I have a hard time picking any double-digit seed over a single-digit seed. I'm just – my bracket's kind of boring this year because I went with
chalky.
A lot of – yeah, kind of chalky. Kind of chalky.
So you probably have Buzz Williams and A&M getting through Yale?
I do. Yale had a 13-4 upset last year over Auburn. So maybe
they
can do it again.
Wolf was on Yale's team, and so was a few other guys that transferred.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. Ole Miss or San Diego State / North Carolina? I think you already said.
Yeah, I have North Carolina winning against San Diego State, and I have them beating Ole Miss. I do not believe in Ole Miss for whatever reason.
I got Chris Beard and Ole Miss advancing here. Iowa State and Lipscomb.
How about Iowa State?
I got the Cyclones as well. Marquette, New Mexico. This is an intriguing matchup.
It is. Little Patino there for New Mexico. He's at a really good level for him. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see if he gets another high major gig. With that being said, I am taking Marquette.
I'm taking Shock and the Golden Eagles as well. Yeah, you think about Indiana jobs open. Minnesota's open. Iowa's open. Villanova's open. Just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's going to be interesting coaching carousel for sure. And Michigan State against Bryant.
Give me Michigan State.
I got Michigan State as well.
The last time they were a two, they lost Middle Tennessee State.
You're right. That was way back in 2016.
That was a while ago.
So you got Auburn against Creighton. Who you got going to Sweet 16?
Give me Auburn.
I got Auburn over Louisville. Who do you like to face Auburn in the Sweet 16? A&M or Michigan?
Give me A&M.
I got the Aggies as well. Tar Heels or Cyclones? Who you got going to Sweet 16?
Give me Iowa State, even without their second leading scorer.
I got Ole Miss just because of that injury. Marquette or Michigan State? Interesting matchup.
Give me Marquette. I haven't been a believer in this Michigan State team all year, and I'm hoping that loss on Saturday, they kind of lick their wounds a little bit and get beat.
I got the Golden Eagles as well. They got the guards to do it.
They got
the guards to do some damage.
Cam Jones, yep.
And they're going to wreak it. They got defense, too, that can wreak havoc. I think they're a dangerous, dangerous seven seed.
They haven't played all that well here recently either, they'll get hot.
Auburn or A&M, who's going on to Elite Eight?
Give me Auburn.
I got Auburn as well. So you have Iowa State versus Marquette. I have Mississippi versus Marquette. Who you got in Elite Eight?
I'm buying Iowa State. They were a two seed last year and lost in the Sweet 16. I think they actually get to the Elite Eight this year. So give me Iowa State.
They definitely got the talent to do so. It's just that injury really – I don't know. It just got me bothered. I'm taking Marquette to go to Elite Eight. So who do you got representing South, Auburn or Iowa State?
Give me Auburn. I think they are a top two team in the country, and they get there.
I got Auburn as well over Marquette. So I got Auburn. I got Bruce Pearl getting back to the Final Four yet again. Down in the – what region is this? What region is Florida in?
West.
West, thank you. that's right. Houston's Midwest. That's weird. Okay. Florida or Norfolk State?
Give me Florida. Florida.
Yeah. Defending national champion, UConn Huskies against Oklahoma.
Man, if I was Florida seeing them, like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I know.
Give me UConn. I think they handle Oklahoma.
I like UConn as well. Memphis or Colorado State?
It'll be interesting because Memphis is very good, not really talked about all that much, but Colorado State's very good as well. However, there are rumors about Nico Medved, their head coach, being the new Minnesota head coach because he's a grad from Minneapolis.
He's a good coach.
He's a very good coach, and so maybe they'll have that on their brains. However, I am taking the upset in this one. Give me Colorado State.
I got the Rams as well, led by Ethan Morton, career high 11 points yesterday, 4 assists. Hey,
Matt Clement is proud.
Yeah, so good for him, still dancing and enjoying college life. So I'm taking the Rams as well. But, Penny and Memphis can be dangerous, too. Maryland or Grand Canyon?
Give me Maryland.
I like the Terps as well. I don't think Indiana goes this direction, but I've heard some Bryce Drew rumors.
Interesting.
I don't think he's a big enough name. But
I don't know. He did good at Valpo. He did good at Vandy, Indiana, and they ran him off. And now he's made the tournament 3 of the last 4 years at Grand Canyon. I think he's a pretty good head coach.
Indiana kid.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Terps as well. I don't know if I said that already or not. But Missouri against Drake, another coach. Drake's coach rumored to be in the mix for Indiana's job.
Give me Drake. I ain't picking Missouri. You kidding
me? Yeah, I knew you weren't. I'm taking the Bulldogs as well. Texas Tech versus UNC Wilmington. I wish I knew more about Wilmington, but I don't.
I wish I knew more about Texas Tech because I was surprised when I saw they were a 3 seed.
I watched them a little bit. I didn't. I mean, they're good. They're good. Yeah. But I don't know.
Give me Tech, though.
I got the Red Raiders as well. Intriguing matchup here. Bill Self against John Calipari.
Yeah, Kansas give me Self. Give me Self. Maybe,
I'm taking Kansas as well. But, man, if St. John's against Omaha, Omaha's an awesome story. They love to beat up a certain trash can after games.
Yeah.
But I think Patino and St. John's gets past them.
Yeah, I do too. Give me St. John's.
But it's fascinating. Most likely going to have Patino against Self or Patino against Calipari.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That's popcorn right there. Florida, UConn.
Give me Florida. I think Florida is, they're a one seed, but I don't really think people are talking about them that much. Walter Clayton Jr., heck of a basketball player. I think Florida moves on.
Yeah, I think Florida is really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they got through the gauntlet of the SEC.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a close one against UConn, though, but Florida prevails.
Yeah.
Colorado State or Maryland?
Give me Maryland.
I got the Terps as well. Drake or Texas Tech?
I have Drake moving on, getting the Sweet 16.
I almost did, but I couldn't pull the trigger because I feel like most of the nation's going to. I took Texas Tech. St. John's or Kansas?
I have Kansas getting to the Sweet 16.
I had them penciled, erased it, St. John's.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise, St. John's so red hot. It wouldn't surprise me for them to flame out early.
Yeah.
But I'm taking the chance they're not going to. Florida or Maryland?
Florida.
You got the Gators biting through the hard shell of the Terrapins. I do as well. I got the Gators going to Elite Eight. Drake or Kansas?
I have Kansas getting to the Elite Eight. Man. I know.
They've stunk all year for them, and then they get to the Elite Eight.
You just know they'll probably get hot.
I got Patino getting to this first Elite Eight in many, many, many years.
Yeah.
So, not many, many. I guess he did take a little while to the championship in 2013, but you got Florida or Kansas?
I have another one seed moving to the Final Four. Give me Florida.
I do as well. I got Florida beating St. John, so pretty chalky for me so far.
Not as chalky as Jay Williams. Do you see his?
No.
All
ones?
Of his Elite Eight, they were all ones and twos.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah.
Duke over American or Mount St. Mary's, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I thought about it, but yeah, give me Duke in that one.
Yeah, I got the Dukies. Mississippi State or Baylor?
I'll give you Mississippi State.
I got the Bulldogs as well. Oregon or Liberty?
I'm taking Liberty. I think they're a good basketball team. And, I think Liberty wins.
Dana Allman wins in March, as the bogey question told me last week, so I'm taking the Ducks. The Bulldogs are – or no, that's later on. Never mind. I went way down on my list. Arizona or the John Gross Akron Zips?
Yeah, good job, Johnny Gross. I mean, back-to-back
time MAC, for him to get a
MAC championship. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten another high major look, but maybe he's happy there. I mean, he doesn't have to deal with any of the crap at the high majors that they do now.
True.
But they came back – I think they were down 18 against his half-brother, who is the head coach of Miami of Ohio, and Travis Steele. So, yeah, it was fascinating to watch, and they ended up winning. But give me Arizona in that one.
I got Arizona as well. If you like abbreviated names, this is the matchup for you. BYU versus VCU.
BYU, same thing last year. They were 6 seed and they end up losing to 11. Duquesne, I think it happens again this year. Give me VCU.
I got Brigham Young. I like this Brigham Young team a lot. And they're playing out in Denver in the altitude. And they're used to the altitude. Maybe I'm putting too much into that. But Wisconsin or Montana?
Give me Scanson.
Yep, I'm taking Wisconsin. They score the ball really well, except they didn't yesterday. Yeah. Vanderbilt or St. Mary's?
Give me St. Mary's.
I'm taking Vanderbilt.
All right. So that wouldn't surprise me. St. Mary's has a real hard time once the NCAA tournament starts. So
they try to stay away from these conference versus conference second round matches. But when you have 14 teams from one conference in, it's kind of impossible.
Hard, yeah.
Alabama or Robert Morris?
Give me Bama.
I got Alabama as well. They're injured going into the tournament.
They are.
So I got them as well. Duke or Mississippi State?
Give me Duke.
I got Duke as well. Liberty or Arizona for you?
I have Arizona.
I got Arizona over Oregon. VCU or Wisconsin?
I have Wisconsin.
I have BYU over Wisconsin.
I like it.
Sweet 16.
I like it.
St. Mary's or Alabama?
I have Alabama.
I got Alabama over Vanderbilt. Duke or Arizona going to lead eight?
I was very chalky with this one. 1-4 and 2-3. Give me Duke.
I got Duke over Arizona. Wisconsin or Bama for you?
Give me Bama.
Got Bama. I got BYU over Bama. I got BYU in the lead eight.
They do have a stud, Igor Dimon. Yeah. Likely lottery pick.
So a lot of my bracket's chalky, but I have a 6 in the lead eight here and a 7 over in the south of Marquette.
Wow.
Duke or Bama?
Give me Duke.
I got Duke over BYU. So we agree so far on the Final Four. 3-3. All right. And then the bracket that, or the region that's got our attention, the Midwest, Houston or SIU Edwardsville, who's a pain in the rear, as you've.
They are. Illinois and Indiana both played them back in November, and like they just kind of hung around. It was never in doubt, but like it were, they would have it within like a 10 or 15 point game. Illinois just couldn't bury them, and they finally did the final couple minutes. But yeah, they're tough, but give me Houston.
I remember the first time I ever heard of SIU Edwardsville. Purdue played them in the 09-10 season when we were seniors in high school. I'm like, who's this school? Now they're
I think they were brand new to Division One at that point, because this is their first time ever, Megan.
Yep, I got Houston pretty easily. This is what I was trying to say earlier. Bulldogs are going to win this matchup. Gonzaga against Georgia.
Give me Gonzaga. Scary 8 seed.
And they're starting to play good ball again.
Yes, so they are.
I got Gonzaga as well. Clemson or McNeese State?
Both of these matchups, the 5-12 and the 4-13, have been popular upset picks so far. But I'm not taking an upset in either of them. Give me Clemson.
I got Clemson as well. I mean, I wanted Purdue to stay away from McNeese. At least they didn't get him in the first round.
Yeah.
But they could potentially see him in the second round if both teams win. Will Wade's teams are scary.
They are.
They're very, very athletic, very arrogant. And you remember last year, a lot of people were picking McNeese not only to win one game, but to win two, if not three. Yeah, and they got whooped. Killed.
Yeah,
I don't even remember who beat them, but somebody whooped them. But I'm taking Clemson as well. Then Purdue against High Point. Alan Huss, the old former Cobra Military Academy coach.
Give me Purdue in that one.
I'm taking Purdue, scared to death. Purdue's not playing well. Not playing well, no, but they did play well against Rutgers and UCLA just 2 weeks ago. But I thought they played pretty good against Illinois. Just they did not look good against Michigan the other night.
Or USC, really.
Or USC. They couldn't shoot the ball well. Maybe they're due. You know, a lot of people are like, maybe they'll get hot like the 2019 team did. Well, that team had Carson Edwards, who's a walking flamethrower.
Right.
And that team was so good defensively. People forget. I mean, Matt Harms, Nojel Eastern. Travion Williams was decent defense. He was young, though, that year. But they had some defensive pieces that this team doesn't have. But I think Purdue gets it done. I did read two stats. Purdue's one of four teams to make 10 straight NCAA tournaments. And they've been a four seed or better eight straight tournament appearances, which is pretty crazy. So I will take
Purdue. They need a fourth guy to score.
Yeah.
It's been an issue all year. And when they were playing really good in like January and into February, they had like other guys step up.
Yeah.
It's like it's kind of reared its ugly head a little bit.
Miles Colvin and Cam Heidi showed some flashes here and there in the Big Ten tournament, but somebody's got to be consistent. And honestly, the guy who I think is playing really good, but he's just not getting a ton of minutes, Jakari Harris.
I think he's playing really well.
He tried to kind of spark him the other night. It just wasn't enough. Yeah. I think he's going to end up being a really good player eventually. He's got good genes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Illinois or Texas Xavier?
I think I'm going to take Xavier in that the first matchup.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Illinois. This team could lose in the first round, or they could get to the Elite Eight. I truly think that.
If they can get to the Elite Eight, they can get to the Final Four.
And I think they can get to the Final Four. I think, honestly, this is the easiest bracket out of the four of them.
I think Illinois and Purdue got decent draws.
I do, too. I feel pretty good about it, which is usually why they'll probably lose on Friday night. Because honestly, I think the three seed Kentucky, I think is very beatable. They're similar to Iowa in the fact they don't rebound and they don't defend, which Illinois has feasted on teams like that. They have really struggled with teams that are more physical and bigger than them, Maryland. I'm taking Illinois in that one.
I'm taking Illinois as well. Kentucky or Troy? I didn't even know Troy made the tournament.
Yep. Give me Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm taking Kentucky as well. UCLA or Utah State?
Give me UCLA. Poor performance by them in the Big Ten tourney, but I think they bounce back.
I got the Bruins as well. Tennessee or Wofford?
Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee as well. It's very unlikely to happen, but it's funny. It's possible Purdue could see Gonzaga and Tennessee again.
Yeah, I know. Year. Right when I saw Purdue was in this one and Tennessee hadn't been picked yet. It's going to happen. At least it'd be the Elite Eight.
Well, yeah, in Indianapolis, too. That'd sign me up if that happens. But. Yeah. Lucas Oil instead of Gainbridge. That's kind of – I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
Don't think I'm going to have to worry about that. Houston or Gonzaga?
Give me Zags.
Yep.
I think they're hot. They are hot.
I'll take Houston, but I think it's close.
Yeah.
I think it's close. Clemson or Purdue?
Sorry, T-Dog. I'm taking Clemson in this one.
I got Clemson. I mean, I think I'm with you there with like Illinois. I think Purdue can make a run, but they can easily get bounced in the first round. I just don't know what Purdue team's going to show up.
Right. If they were playing better heading into the tourney, I would have had them further. But well, Clemson's playing pretty well, too.
If Trey Kaufman Ring gets a foul trouble like this every game lately, they're in trouble.
Right.
And if they're not hitting open shots, they're in trouble. They're bad defensively. It's not going to get better. But they had look after look after look against Michigan, just couldn't hit anything. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer combined 4 for 25. You're not going to win many games.
Not too many. Nope. Where's that game at? Providence? Is that where it's at?
Yeah, Providence, okay. Rhode Island, which a lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe. I'm like, I don't care. Purdue, as a 4 seed, I didn't think it was going to get the Midwest. So yeah. The fact they got, if they can get past those first two somehow and get Indianapolis, then it's just gravy.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We've got to win games. Illinois or Kentucky?
I went homer here. I took Illinois. It's in Milwaukee. It'll be a home game as well. There'll be a lot of Kentucky fans there should this matchup happen. But give me Illinois. I went homer.
Sorry, J-Man. I went Kentucky.
I don't blame you.
But I'm not a believer in this Kentucky team. So, UCLA or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
I went Tennessee. So, looking at my bracket, I had one big 10 team make Sweet 16. That was Maryland.
Yeah. I had Illinois and Maryland. That was it. So, I had two. And Wisconsin as well. So
yeah, I didn't have them. I guess I give no respect to the Big Ten at all.
No.
You got Gonzaga or Clemson?
Give me Gonzaga. I think they get to the Elite Eight. This team's hot. They're top. I think they're top 12 on KenPom now. So, scary eight.
I thought you were going back to back Elite Eight appearances for Clemson. So,
no.
I'm taking Houston over Clemson, and then Illinois or Tennessee.
Give me Tennessee. Illinois already lost to them once.
I got Tennessee over Kentucky. Tennessee or Gonzaga?
I think Tennessee makes their first Final Four ever. And they get there.
We got the same Final Four. I got Tennessee over Houston.
That's great. That's great.
So, I got a feeling we got the same championship, but yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Who do you got in the championship?
I have Auburn playing Duke.
I got Florida playing Duke. Okay, all right. Good. We finally disagree. All right,
good.
National champ?
Duke.
I got Duke 76-63. Yep.
I have them. I think the game will be played around 170 combined points. So 86-84.
Man, we agreed a lot.
I know.
Oh, well. I do. I don't like Duke. I really think they're the best team.
I have not done a book it yet. So this will be the J-Man's book it prediction of the week. I think at least 25% of the Big Ten teams that made the NCAA tournament will get to the Sweet 16, which would be two, right? Eight teams made it, right?
Yes. That's what you predicted, two.
Yeah.
I predicted one.
So. I think in my bold prediction, I had 10 teams in, but yeah, my predictions right now, I think I had 3 teams in the Sweet 16. So, J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
I know Travis and his brother are doing their annual March Madness Bracket Challenge. If you want to get into his, get a hold of him as well. Sir. Yeah. So, real quick before we wrap things up, NFL free agency over a week old now, a lot of moves, but some big names, guys still haven't found their landing spot yet. What were some of your big takeaways from week one? Who were some of the teams you thought won? Some interesting spots for guys that landed there?
Yeah, I'm trying to recap in my brain. Right? A lot has happened here the past week. I think New England did very well. They had a ton of cap space. I think Carolina did well because they had a ton of cap space. A lot of the moves, we talked about them last week because they kind of already had happened, like the big ones, but we still have like Rodgers is still out there and Rodgers.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's still out there. Justin Fields signed with the Jets. I don't know if that happened before last Monday.
I think we talked about that.
I think we did too.
And Darnold to the Seahawks. Darnold
Seahawks and DK Metcalf traded to Pittsburgh. Yep. I remember that one.
Yep.
T. Higgins and Jamar Chase got paid, so they're going to have to score 50 points a game because they're not
going to defensive money.
Stop. A nosebleed next.
No defensive money. I mean, they had to do it, but man.
Other than that, I haven't. Has there really been any massive deals that I can't really think of any?
A massive name, but Cooper Kupp to the Seahawks.
Right. He was released. Yeah. Went to Seahawks.
It sounded like he was really interested at one point in negotiations in Denver, but his price, Denver's like, we like you, but not for that price.
How much was it? Like 15? Or no, it was a couple year deal, wasn't it?
It was 3 year, 45. And I don't think Denver wanted to come close to that, which they don't really have the cap space to do something like that.
He hasn't been healthy either.
But man, when he is, he's awesome.
He's good, but he's also on the wrong side of 30 at this point, I think.
Yeah, so. And he wanted to go back home, I think, up in Washington.
Which makes sense. Yeah, so. Eastern Washington grad.
And he gets to play, yep, and he gets to play against the Rams twice a year. That division's interesting. There's been a lot of unloading.
Yeah, the Niners kind of got gutted via free agency. The Broncos signed a couple guys, their safety Greenlaw. So it'll be interesting to see. It could be a transitional sort of year there in San Fran, because I could see, should they make the playoff or miss the playoffs this year, that Shanahan gets a change of scenery sort of deal and leaves, or they fire him. Who knows?
Mm. I like what the Broncos have done. They also got Evan Ingram, formerly of the Jaguars. Right. They needed a tight end or a joker that Sean Payton was looking for his offense. All three of these deals are guys who haven't been healthy, so they got them cheaper than you normally probably would, but it's risk reward. I mean, the reward is high on these three guys if they can stay healthy. But if they can't, then you, ouch. But
yeah,
so I'm cool with now. I just hope they get a running back. Like, I think they need to get a veteran and then somebody in the draft. But
what veteran running backs are out there?
Hunt still, or no, Chubb still out there.
He had a gruesome knee injury just a year and a half ago, though.
I mean, they don't need a guy to carry it all the time. They still have Jaleel McLaughlin, Audric Estime. Those are young guys, but I think they're going to draft one, too, because the draft's loaded.
Yeah, it's a good running back draft.
I don't know, though. There's not a ton of great names out there. Like, some guys I thought they might kick the tires on, they didn't, or maybe they did, and they just re-signed with their team or signed somewhere else. Like Najee Harris went to the Chargers, which I didn't want him anyways.
Stinks.
I didn't want him anyway.
Terrible. Everyone's like, he has over 1,000 yards in each of his first four seasons. I think his career yards per carry is like 3.9 or something. It's just because he has a ton of carries.
Yeah. So no, it's been interesting. Daniel Jones signed with Colts. We didn't talk about that last week.
Most inaccurate quarterback room in the history of the NFL, in my opinion. In fact, their quarterback room has the bottom two guys in passer rating last season.
Ooh.
That's rough.
I can't get people in Indy too excited.
That is rough, yeah.
Yeah. Dolphins do much, besides I know they got Zach Wilson, but...
They signed offensive lineman who, again, he blew out his Achilles in week four, so that's a classic Greer deal to sign him and hope he's healthy, and he probably won't be. They redid their safeties. Javon Holland signed with the Giants, which I was very happy with because he had a terrible year. So they signed Ashton Davis from the Jets and then a guy from the Lions. I can't pronounce his name for safety. They don't have much cap space either, so they haven't really done a whole lot. And they'll do a majority of their work through the draft because they have 10 draft picks this year.
Yeah, that helps.
Yep. Got a hit though.
Bears have had a good free agency. I think they're building a team in the trenches big time. There's no excuse for Caleb Williams this year.
Zero excuse. And I think Ben Johnson was the right hire, and we will see if that if it works out.
Yeah, they'll be hyped up again. They were last year, and I took the bait. I had them in the playoffs.
I did not. Did I? I might have.
I don't know.
I don't think I bought them as Super Bowl contenders like Rich Eisen did, but
correct. Hit me with that birdie or bogey game.
All right. Four teams in college basketball have won 20 or more games in each of the past six seasons. Who are those four teams?
So that starts in the 2019 season. Mm-hmm. So that's not Purdue because the bubble team was not good. Or that bubble year team was not good. I'm going Gonzaga.
Yep.
Kansas. No.
Yes. No.
Illinois.
Crap. One more for APAR.
I know that he's got such 27 trig tournaments. I'm Michigan State.
Nope.
Son of a.
Houston. And San Diego State.
I would never got that. Never got that. I should have thought Houston. No, got San Diego.
I was surprised that Kansas, but I think that Kansas team in the COVID year was not that great.
Okay. Still made the tournament, though.
Still made the tourney, but I want to say they weren't that great. Okay.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, another rough
one. It's awful. It's Ricky Fowler over the weekend. Oh, my God.
Yep. So, all right. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.